You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
Did you ever think you'd betray your family the way you did today?
Dominic Toretto just turned on us.
Well, 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 do you look at that?
I don't know why he's doing this, but that wasn't Dom.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism. And now, she's working with your guy.
I think I found my team.
This should be interesting.
You want to play like that?
Welcome, everybody, for our second iteration of the BMFML podcast for the month of April, I guess. Once again, joined by Kupka and PJ. What's going on, guys?
What is up?
Yo, what's going on?
Not much. We've had an eventful last couple of weeks. It's been about 4 weeks since we last did an episode, so it felt like the right time to get together and talk a little bit of our movie fantasy league. Obviously, the last episode was almost an hour long. I don't know if this one will go quite that length, but we'll see where it goes. And apparently, people really fucking like Vin Diesel and Cars Driving Fast, because holy shit, that movie's making a shit ton of money again.
It is, but for the time of year, I think it's making a lot for the time of year. Overall, Friday was only $11 million.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the full weekend brings in. My guess is it does about 50, if that. Which is going to be a huge drop-off from the week before, and almost guarantee that it is not going to do a three-peat, which no film has yet this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Although, we were talking on Facebook, maybe it was private, I can't fucking remember, but somebody had asked the question, how many weeks will this movie stay at the in the top 10?
I did, yeah.
I still think it's got staying power. I mean, I think 6 weeks is realistic. For this personally, I know what's coming, but I just don't
and that's why I phrased it the way I did, because I knew 6 weeks is pretty much guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But just with how big the opening weekend for it, well, yes, it was over $100 million. It was less than the previous one, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, by a good margin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that right there told me, which is what prompted the question. I don't think it's going to fall on a three. It's realistic, depending on, especially going into May, that 5 weeks, it could drop off, end up in a 9-10 spot, whereas it's not in the top 10 in the sixth week, but we'll see.
The real question, I guess, is is it the first 3 week repeat number one? The only thing that's got a chance to knock it off is the circle movie.
The Circle will knock it off. It'll come in at number one. It'll be the movie that it's fucking Tom Hanks. So you got the 60 and over demographic going out, and you're really hitting the stride of spring where it's the first official dump before May starts. And what's the following week after that? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I think this is really the last chance for a three-peat at number one. just looking through everything, you don't really expect Guardians to be at number one after 3 weeks. Mm. I think it'll still hit high marks, but you've got King Arthur coming out the week after, and then the week after that is Alien Covenant. And I guess Guardians could stay at number one, but it's just the Guardians starts that ongoing, week after week drop of blockbusters, essentially, all the way till probably the beginning of August, really.
I think King Arthur flops like a motherfucker. Yeah. And honestly, I think Alien will beat Guardians. However, I think that may actually be a lot closer than we think.
Sure, I think it's a spot. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a niche audience, it's rated R, and so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see come 4 weeks from now. So
I don't know. I think that next time we talk, we're going to be talking about the fact that Guardians is the first three-peat. I just don't think that Alien especially after Prometheus and everything else, I just don't think that it has the power to hit number one in its opening weekend. I think it might have staying power, you know? But I just don't totally buy it. It's not like your slam dunk... What's the word I'm looking for? It's not like a typical horror movie, right? I mean, there are people who don't like these movies just because it's like sci-fi concept horror, you know?
Okay. Let's do this. What do you think Guardians is going to open at?
What's it going to open at? Fuck.
Are we going 150 plus, or are we hovering 125 to 150?
I think I was thinking closer to 200, in all honesty. I mean, as far as Marvel goes, I think it's
okay.
As hyped a movie as there is.
All right. So let's say 180 for argument's sake. Typically, the second week's going to have a 50% drop off, typically. So you're going down to 90 the second week. Third week, again, another 50% drop off. You're at 45 million. We don't think Alien's going to do better than 45?
I think it's going to do. I think the Guardians is going to have more staying power than that.
Okay.
When you talk about Marvel movies, right, in general, Marvel movies do well. No surprise there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Guardians is spoke about in a different category than Marvel movies. Like, it is a Marvel... the whole fucking Ammon, it's not a comic book movie thing, right? Like,
right.
Like, it is a Marvel movie, for sure. But I think that it's much more in line with the modern equivalent of what maybe Star Wars was at one point, you know, or like back in the day sort of thing.
You're absolutely correct, and one of the things that makes it bigger than normal Marvel movies, which leads me to a conversation have off air, is the fact that the soundtrack is right. Also such a big part of this movie. I've been listening to the goddamn thing since somebody put it up as a playlist right after they released what the goddamn playlist was going to be.
Yeah,
like it's been nonstop, and it's such a fun character too.
Yeah,
because every track on there, you know, is going to be an important part of the movie. It's going to fit so goddamn well, and it's going to be that big entertainment blockbuster moment that you're going to want.
Right, right. And you're always going to have that contingent of people who don't want to see it at all. But I just think that, you know, it's been Civil War. What did Civil War do last year? Did we get 3 weeks at number one?
Let me check. That's what I was just kind of going through. I was checking out like what Doctor Strange did, and that's why, you know, where does this movie land in that Marvel category? Is it more on the Civil War kind of hype level, or are we looking more at, you know, kind of the mid level hype like a Thor? Because I mean, the first release of Guardians was only made $95 million the first weekend. So
Civil War did not get 3 weeks; it only got two.
What came out the third week?
And this is fucking funny too, because what came out May 6th of last year? Civil War. So it's, fucking Angry Birds.
Yeah, I just think that Guardians is a different beast. Maybe I'm crazy.
It was Angry Birds or Neighbors 2, because May 6th was Captain America, and then the 13th it was also number one, and then the following weekend was Angry Birds and Neighbors 2 at... On the 20th, so
yeah,
that fucking movie knocked it off.
Right,
we were talking Alien.
Now, do you guys think that this movie? Because I'm looking at Prometheus right now. Does Alien Covenant actually get a boost from Prometheus, or are people not really as hyped because of what Prometheus was?
I have said since Prometheus fucking came out. And they announced that there was going to be a sequel, that the next, or we found out it was a sequel, that what Aliens did for Alien, Alien Covenant is going to do for Prometheus. Alien by itself sure was a great movie, but Aliens makes it so much better.
Yes. I mean, there are a few aspects of it, sure, but like, to compare Alien to Prometheus, I think is kind of ridiculous. Like, they're just not all on the same level.
I'm not comparing those movies together. I'm comparing what the follow-up movie did for the previous movie. So in my opinion, I think those that maybe had problems are going to be intrigued enough to go see it, especially now that it has the Alien title on it, more so than if it were to be just Prometheus 2. And that's probably why it's not Prometheus 2, or something along those lines, extending it further out into just a general universe and Alien Covenant. So
yeah, I just wonder how many people were, you know, Alien franchise fans and have been kind of let down by Prometheus and aren't going to give it a chance in the theaters here.
If they survived Alien 3 and 4 and still stuck around for Prometheus, I think they'll be back for this one.
But well, that's just me. Yeah, in that case, so Prometheus in 2012 made $51 million its opening weekend. So it's going on what you said, Kupka, is right around where you would expect Guardians to be that third weekend. So be interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. So what else, guys? I mean, obviously Beauty and the Beast crossed the 1 billion mark last Wednesday, and I can't remember who I was talking to, but somebody had mentioned at Disney that they're... God damn it, who the fuck said this? Somebody I know that works near... I think at Disney, one of their marketing guys or something, he was telling me that basically Beauty and the Beast was going to be seen as a failure if it didn't make at least $1 billion, and they hit it. So so what's this mean for next season? I mean, is it just every year we have to respect the fucking late February, mid-March Disney release and just assume that that's going to make $1 billion before the summer season even starts? Or, like, what's the deal?
That's a great fucking question. I think the better question is, when do we stop paying attention? When does the burnout begin to set in?
Right.
Because we have, what, one new live-action animation remake for the next, like, 6 years, right. Probably.
Right.
I mean, I think it also...
It's all going to depend on what goes up against it. This is... I mean, what came out this March up against it?
Nothing. Well, The Boss Baby, apparently.
There's that. There was Logan right before it, but I mean, that was never going to get any of that audience.
That's a niche film, and that's what usually comes out around this time. It's more your niche films, where this is more family oriented. So, if this is going to be the only thing that's going to be available, that's going to pertain to all ages, yes, it's going to fucking dominate. And that is why people have always been hesitant of ever throwing, you know, a higher rating onto something, because they know it's typically not going to do as well. What do we always talk about? What are we always shocked about? Holy shit, Deadpool made how much fucking money? Right. But that was a rated R movie. That's not supposed to happen. You know, it's the stigma of the letter, and we all realize now that we're all adults, regardless of our age. You know, we're mature people. We can handle that shit, and it's going to make you a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, who the fuck knows?
I think it also depends on which Disney movies we're talking about here. I mean, is Mulan really going to pull the weight that Beauty and the Beast did?
No.
Right. And now this news coming out that Will Smith is being looked at to be the genie, which, you know, is almost blasphemy about Robin Williams, you know, part in that. But that being said, if Aladdin is done and it is Will Smith, who still has, you know, a decent amount of box office clout, I think something like Aladdin could do what Beauty and the Beast is doing. I don't see Mulan doing it, but...
You know, I'd be interested at the overall cast, because I'm looking at Beauty and the Beast right now, and while they are A-list actors, I don't see them individually dominating box office. When you have Emma Watson, Luke Evans, Emma Thompson, Kevin Kline, Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci, none of those people by themselves are going to pull in dominant numbers for a long, you know, time. This, but as an ensemble, when you start adding names like Will Smith, that's an immediate, you know, you think you're going to get that boost. I think that actually hurts it immensely. I think you need somebody of a, you know, not as big of a name.
Yeah. Aladdin's going to be interesting because Ghost in the Shell released, right? And obviously, like, that got tons of negative press for whitewashing the character and all this other bullshit, right? The social justice warrior crap and, in my opinion, it's another example of a studio just, like, for some reason changing something that doesn't need to be changed, right? Like, not really casting the right person in the first place kind of just fucked that movie over completely.
And why are they, you know, making an argument about that when we've American studios have remade foreign films so many times,
right,
putting who in there? White actors and actresses.
Right, right. But that being a whole other discussion, Aladdin is a Middle Eastern film.
I was just going to say that.
So, I mean, does Disney just fucking... Actually, this is probably the answer. They just hired Dev Patel, right? Because they get the Slumdog Millionaire kid to fucking do it, and they're good.
You hire Camille, what's his name? From Benjani? Fucking... yes. From,
he should be the fucking genie. That's what I'm saying.
He should be the fucking genie. He'd be awesome. He's the voice of, what's his name in Andromeda?
The fucking Solarian.
Yeah.
I can't remember now, but.
Whatever. Yeah.
It works, though.
Yeah. Dude would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. Disney is, you know, it's funny. Somebody should really do a study on these podcasts at the end of the year and see how much time we dedicate just talking to movies that have been released by Disney. Because it's basically like Beauty and the Beast, right? We're just waiting for Guardians. That's Disney. Thor's Disney. Spider-Man has got Disney's fingers all over it. And then whatever.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates. We've got fucking Coco and the other, was it Cars 3? And then Star Wars. Like, it's fucking crazy, but... I wonder how they're going to handle a movie like Aladdin. And actually, to be honest with you, The Lion King, too, because, like, what the fuck? Yeah. That whole thing, there are no people in it. So are they going to just film animals and CGI them? Or I'm kind of confused as to what that's going to be. But
they'll probably go the Jungle Book route where, they utilized animals and just voice acted.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But,
I mean, what do you do in animation? You voice act. It's just, that's the perfect example of why are we doing this? All you're doing is taking an animated movie, now making it a CG movie, and doing the same thing. Like, just because we can make it look better doesn't mean it's going to enhance the overall story. Like, I think Beauty and the Beast is an anomaly because from what everybody has said that has seen it, the old and the new, it's identical, and it's because that's the way they did it. Shot for shot, you know, whatever. If they continue to do that shit especially, what are you really doing? Why not just run it through a computer upgrade process?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck? You make... You know, I think we talked about this before, so if I'm rehashing, I'm sorry, but, like, I get the Jungle Book. Jungle Book makes sense. Jungle Book is not, like, as sacred to modern audiences as something like The Lion King or Beauty and the Beast or Aladdin is. It's just not, you know? Like, people know that story. Obviously, it's a Disney classic animated film, taking nothing away from what it is. But even the animated film, like, it strayed from the, you know, like every fucking Disney adaptation. Right. They all stray from the story, and they do what they want. So I think when they went to do The Jungle Book, it was more like, the stakes are very low for this, right? You don't... If you change a couple things about the story, which they did... Nobody's going to give a shit because, like, it's not fucking hallowed ground. Beauty and the Beast, to me, I have zero desire to see that. And it's not out of, like, disliking or whatever, but I love the animated version. I've known it my whole life. And I don't understand why I want to sit... Like, why I would want to sit down and watch a live-action version of the exact same thing. Like, it just doesn't... I don't get it. But I guess I'm alone in that because everybody else wants to see that. So
here's what I can think of, especially if they continue to do the shot for shot thing, is it's we're just now living it's the realistic world we live in where what we experienced in the way we experienced films, books, television shows, whatever. They're just going to be remade for our generation because that's just the way we're going to do it.
It's just because they can. You know what I mean?
Just because they can.
It's
you essentially have a built-in audience because those that love it immensely, the percentage that are going to boycott it is so small compared to those that are so intrigued as to what they did with it. The only reason why I want to see a movie like this on the big screen is for the new technology. This in Dolby Atmos would probably be fucking phenomenal. And that's how I wanted to see it. Unfortunately, I don't think it's available anymore. So at this point, I don't fucking care. I'll end up watching it on the couch on a Sunday afternoon when the wife finally sits down to watch a movie. Like, that's what this is to me. Overall, and if that's why they're doing it, to enhance, to show off this new technology, then, you know, I guess. Well, I think there's better ways to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's that plus, I mean, you look at the $1 billion mark for Beauty and the Beast in under a month. I mean, in a month. So yeah. Until people stop going, this is what we're going to get, you know?
Yeah.
Same with Marvel. I mean, until people stop going, they're just going to saturate the shit out of the market, and that it is what it is. And people are either going to accept it or not. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Now, in the interim, and kind of looking a little bit farther ahead, you know, since last time we talked, we had a few pretty significant trailers drop. One of which had a lot more of an effect than the other. But, you know, let's start with the bigger one. Star Wars The Last Jedi. Obviously, we know that the film's going to do well. We know that it's going to earn a certain amount of points. And, you know, we've got the potential for a lot of magazine covers and shit. How'd you guys like the trailer?
I haven't seen it yet.
Good point. I forgot who I'm talking to. PJ, how about you? Did you see it?
Yeah, I was kind of meh on it. Now, granted, I think somebody, I think it was Nate, brought up the point that he had first watched it on his phone and then watched it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
We were literally in the hospital while I'm watching it on my phone, watching the Star Wars, the feed.
Sure. Hey, at least we know where your priorities are. So good
That's
for you,
right.
sir.
That's right. So I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it on the big screen, but I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me. Granted, it was a teaser of a trailer. So, I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't matter, you know, to me. I'm there, you know, first week to see this.
Sure.
And, you know, it's nice to see Luke talk or hear Luke talk. And, you know, that's about all we got.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's,
I'm sorry.
That's the perfect way to put it. I forgot who said it on the main bench cast, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
I think it was Ammon was talking about a conversation. It doesn't matter. You're going to go see it. And that's why I'm, you know, aside from my whole trailer boycott thing, but
sure.
One of the reasons why, whatever, I'll see it when I see it because I know I'm going to go. The other trailer we'll get to after your thoughts, it was a completely different story.
Yeah, no. I mean, PJ, I had kind of the same feeling you did. I mean, I thought that it was a solid trailer, but it's, you know, there wasn't much there, and it doesn't really matter what they show or what they don't show because there's no way I'm not going. However, I will say that I fucking love the that one distant shot of the, you know, on the cliffside. That's my shit right there. So for those of you who have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Kupka, you'll find out eventually. It's really, really cool stuff. It's exactly what I think. It's exactly the kind of eye that I think Star Wars needs from directing. And I also really liked, I did watch a lot of the panel that day because it was a slow day at work. And I really like Rian Johnson, his perspective on things, how he talked about Star Wars, and the fact that he actually had an old Leica camera with him the whole time taking behind-the-scenes photos. He actually brought it on stage with him to the panel, and like when they rolled out BB-8 or some of the cast members, he would just drop everything, jump up, and start snapping photos. So
yeah,
I really like a guy with that kind of enthusiasm is behind the camera on this one, so...
And that's one of the things, regardless of whether you like or hate the movie, Looper is an amazing looking film.
Mm-hmm.
And Absolutely. That gave me instant, you know, positive reaction to him being the director on this one.
Yeah. And Brick is a great movie too that a lot of people haven't
yes,
seen.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, so the other trailer, for my money, best trailer I've seen in a long, long time. this trailer was so good that Kupka, you remember, I messaged you almost immediately and said, I understand your perspective and respect it, but you need to watch this trailer with the headphones up loud. And this was Thor Ragnarok.
You did.
God
and,
damn it, am I fucking hyped for this movie. It actually, I told you I was playing guitar earlier today. Part of the reason I jumped back into my guitar was because of seeing that trailer last week and immediately having to fucking learn Immigrant Song again.
Yeah, I responded to you, and you understood, and I kept seeing on Facebook, like, everybody, as expected, starting to come out and fife about the fucking thing. But then when I see someone like my brother come out and talk how fucking awesome a trailer is, he's usually whatever. He'll go see a movie, you know, but when certain ones get him talking, I knew I had to watch it. And holy shit, like I said on Facebook, this is how you cut a teaser.
Yeah.
That fucking end shot of him and Hulk, holy fuck. I almost jumped up and screamed in excitement on the train, but I thought I'd probably get thrown off. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, and the thing with this trailer, too, is, I mean, it got you right off the bat, right? I mean, within the first 10 seconds, I was hooked, you know?
Yeah.
And all the way through, you know, and I'm kind of like Law. Like, I couldn't give two shits about Thor, to be honest. I like the fact that he's kind of part of the Avengers. But
right.
The first two movies did nothing for me. But yeah. I think I said online, this has gone from me not really caring, probably not seeing it in the theater, to on the top of my priority list of, you know, things I will be seeing in the theater.
So last year was Doctor Strange. This year is Thor. What comes out in November time of next year? Do we have that released yet, or we just know of a movie next year? Is next? That's not Black Panther, is it?
I think Black Panther's next summer.
Yeah,
I thought.
Unless, you know, it may be Captain Marvel.
I thought that was 2019, but I don't. Yeah,
You might be right. I mean, the only other one next year that I know off the top of my head is Infinity War, right? So.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
And again, we say Disney. Are they just going to dominate fucking... They're dominating every month.
Look, I said it on this show and I think a previous binge cast too. Maybe during our draft show or something. I can't remember. But I really like Taika Waititi. I think he's a really good director. I haven't seen him do anything that I haven't liked. And I really was looking forward to this before I saw this teaser. I mean, you can go back and see that shit, too. This teaser just, it solidified that for me, and it made me very happy that I took him as my second director this year. So, I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to do really well after this teaser. And it's just going to basically clean up the box office until Star Wars shows up. I really think it's good. Potential to do that as I think all these Marvel movies do. So
yeah, I mean, even Doctor Strange, a lesser known character, you know, did really well in the box office, relatively speaking, to our game here.
Sure.
With the same release date roughly, and I'm looking here, so next November, that there doesn't look like there's anything. Black Panther's next February.
Okay.
And then Infinity War in May, the May 4th weekend again, and then Ant-Man and Wasp is next summer.
Okay.
So, yeah. Oh, that is a fucking good year of movies.
Yeah.
But okay, so are we okay with just one company providing us with all of our blockbuster entertainment? The good blockbuster entertainment? I'm okay with it.
As long as it's good, man. I mean, if they're consistently finding ways to make their films different and unique, then I'm all for it. I mean, I think the Black Panther origin movie, however,
I am so excited for that.
But I think that that's going to tell us a lot about how confidently we can really, you know, look at all this stuff. Because god damn it, if Black Panther's February, we gotta start thinking.
Oh, isn't about that pan? You want to talk about pandering?
Yeah. Well, of course, but. But no, there's a lot to think about. I don't know.
I guess,
as long as they're good movies.
Your question is, yeah, I mean, as long as the studio that's doing it is doing it well, I mean, would you want Warner Brothers handling all of these?
No. So let's look at this from a business model perspective. Like, who sat down and said, okay, we just did this amount of money on this. There is this much interest. Where's the bell curve and the apex? And where does the intersecting, you know, law of diminishing return occur? And from what we can see, it's not until fucking 2020. Minimally.
Yeah.
That is some ridiculous fucking superhero mind shit right there. That's what that is. I want the I want to see the total numbers up to date and then when it's done on how much fucking money all this brought into them.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I get it. I understand why it may be a little bit of an issue in terms of like a monopoly and, you know, if you want to get into InfoWars shit. I'm sure Alex Jones is not happy about it, but
if the product coming out is good, no one gives a fuck.
Exactly.
And if they continue to care that much, good for fucking them. And here, take my money. I have no problem with it. But like you said, Warner Brothers, I don't give a fuck about a single DC movie coming out right now. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
I think I will go probably maybe if there's nothing out at that time, just for a possible entertaining 2 hours.
Yeah, like, I'm with you. It's pretty crazy. Well, PJ, you are the numbers extraordinaire here. Do you have the spreadsheet open? Maybe give us an update on some of the teams and you know, some of the leaderboards and shit like that.
Oh boy, I knew you were going to come to me at this, and I'm ill prepared today, but I do have it open, so we can kind of go through it and look at it a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just taking a quick look at like the Banderos conference here. I saw there's a clear goddamn fucking way out in front winner of the whole fucking thing, and you know, pretty confident picks based off of one movie. But holy fuck, is Gemma? She's 200 points ahead of the next person.
Yes, yeah,
which is Kupka. Almost 300. It's like 250 points ahead of Kupka. And now, yes, like you said, she had kind of put many of her eggs in one basket with Beauty and the Beast, but clearly that's turning out to be a good thing at this point. I was looking at her team earlier this week, and she does have a couple of guys that, you know, kind of show up through everyone else's teams, but there are still she's gonna drop off, and you're gonna see when we look at this progression of points, and we'll do it again this year like we did last year with showing kind of how everybody jumped and how everything moved from beginning to end. Hers is gonna exponentially start to just taper off, and
it's gonna taper off. But looking at her team right now, she's got fucking Thor and Taika Waititi,
right.
And if it does what we think it's gonna do. Let's look at Bill Condon and Beauty and the Beast. Total right now at 98 points. That's another fucking 98 points.
Could be, yeah.
Easily.
Could be very easily at that time of year.
And then who do these fucking people, how many of these people are in Thor? Like,
yeah.
She could be like the fucking Dark Horse coming through and just killing everybody.
It's crazy. I mean, every time I go in here, I see that number, and I can't fathom it. I mean, we're early on, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, always remember that, of course. But, like,
all about the long game.
But Jesus Christ, man, it's impressive. It's definitely impressive. You know, especially when looking at some of the other teams, like myself, I'm in seventh place in the hard taco division right now, which I kind of expected up to this point because of the picks that I made. I mean, really, I'm just starting up the Kurt Russell train as of last week, so I'm hoping that I get some double down points for the next, you know, after Guardians comes out. I think I could realistically get like 5-6 weeks of points from two different movies for him. So I'm loving that. But I don't know. We'll have to see where else it goes. What else have you seen from the data, PJ? Any trends? Anything surprising? Or is it kind of just we're trying here?
If you look at it, most of the other divisions, everything is kind of right around. I mean, you've got your leaders at about 150, 60, 70,
sure.
Kind of rolling down to the 70-point mark. And again, it's like you said, it's just people who essentially banked on Beauty and the Beast and maybe like Logan, because Logan did surprisingly well, to be honest. It did better than I thought it would. But everybody else is kind of right in there. It's so early right now to tell anything.
Sure.
But it's nothing that stands out except Gemma's team. I mean, that's the big thing. I haven't, you know, had a chance to kind of go through and see where people are pulling points from necessarily, or if there's something, if there's a team like Gemma's team that maybe put all their eggs in the Power Rangers basket and they're kind of hurting these days, which, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, you think that movie's out of the top 10 already this weekend. And
it's
quite the disappointment for them. So,
yeah. So how many weeks was that? Three, four?
Yeah. I think maybe it was 3 weeks, 3 weeks in the top 10.
Yeah. The looking at Gemma's team, the guy I'm going to keep my eye on now this season is this Carl Farrer, her captain. Beauty and the Beast, but he's also in War Machine. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. I think that's where it's going to make or break her, is if that actually does well.
Hmm.
Because he's also in The Hitman's Bodyguard, Justice League, Transformers That Last Night, and The Children Act. So that dude could be one of those hidden gems this season.
Yep. And I think he shows up on quite a few people's teams. I think he's on my team.
Yeah.
But yes, you're banking essentially on at least something from the King Arthur movie.
Yeah.
If it bombs, like, you know, it very well could, then, you know, you're essentially just hacking off one of the big blockbusters for that guy.
King Arthur is definitely 20 plus, like 2025 for sure. Because that'll be either a number two or three finish, and if it'll stay in for at least 3 weeks, it'll be about 20 points.
Yeah, I could see that happening. So just to give it a rundown of the division leaders right now, for the Hard Taco division, we've got Michael Jameson.
The so-called best division. I'm so tired of all you and your cronies, Mr. Jack Valley, talking about how great your division is and how nobody can compare.
Yeah, well,
a lot of people have a lot of things to say and have little to stand on. The only person that can is Ed.
He's the only one
that I'll give credence to, but Art likes to flap his lips a lot, too.
And I believe Art is number 8 right now in the division. And right. I think, and you know what, it's that little Napoleon complex type shit where you're looking up at everybody because you feel so small that you just got to talk to most shit. So I understand it.
Listen, the Hard Taco division, we're full of a lot of swinging dicks, you know. We've got fucking Eddie Arvelo, Steve Wood, Art from Cali, the Bunch Man himself, Ed Minkowski, and Reed Wilson. I mean, right there, you know, there's a lot of chit-chat going on, and I'm doing my best to keep up, but like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and I'm not looking to attack anybody else. I got to get out of my own division, and frankly, you know, we'll see what happens there. So it's a lot of shit talk. I hear a lot of it. I don't join in. I don't have a leg to stand on at the moment. So we'll see what happens. But in any case, we got the leaders here. So we got Hard Taco division. We got Michael Jameson's Thriller and Read 'Em and Weep. In the Sasquatch division, we've got the fucking Titan Team Gems, and then Subka Serial Killers. The So Ridiculously Fucking Wet division is, was that Louis Cinema and Mystic Science Ninja Team Go Binger. And then on the Bob and Dick conference, we've got Drill Bill Volume 1 in the Soft Taco division and Cage NATO. In Crash Bang Wallop, we've got Windturn is coming. Nice, very nice. And Dildo Factory Workers of Canada Unite with a 2-point difference between the two of you, so... and then in the Up All Night division, we've got the Nate's Watch and Jerry and the D's. So, for as it stands today, that's what we're looking at. A couple other things before we close this out. There have been quite a lot of responses in terms of people who might have had credits added and accounting for magazine covers. Once again, we'll say it, we try to update that once a month because anything else is kind of crazy. So, you know, by the time that you hear any of these episodes, point allocations should be pretty spot on. And if you see anything funky, please email us, bingegamecast@gmail.com, and we'll fix the issue. Facebook is fine as well, but, you know, email allows us to more easily kind of track, you know, anything that might come in, so... just because there's so much that comes in on Facebook every day. So,
Right. The big thing with that, I think Ed kind of reached out and was looking at his own team and saw that somebody on his team had a credit added, and that's going to happen a lot. I mean, it happened last year with Mark Falvo, as we all know. And it's going to be really, really difficult for us to keep track of that stuff. So if everybody will just keep track of their own team, look at their own people every once in a while, and let us know if those credits change, and we'll just verify that and add credits to each of your actors. Now, we'll do it maybe twice a year. You know, we'll go through the list of every actor and actress, but...
Yeah, it's easy enough at this point to break it apart between us where we can do it. It's just finding the time to keep it kind of current. So it helps a lot when you guys do it. So keep track of your own shit.
And this episode, whenever these drop, just use this as your reminder to maybe take a quick look at your team's credits and make sure everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, I think with what you said, Jack, is that we'll try to keep the magazine covers locked. We'll try to get them done by the time these podcasts drop. And I think this month's are already done and nothing really happened. I think we had maybe one total film or something. Mm. Baby Groot showed up again. So not much changing in that realm.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens. Guys, anything else we got to get put out on the table before we wrap this up?
Real quick, I just wanted to give a quick rundown of the current top 10 for the year. Yep. Go a little backwards. Number 10, we got John Wick at 91.8 million. Number 9, 50 Shades Darker, 114.4 million. Jesus. Can't wait till that fucker drops out of there. Should be another, probably by next week, I think that'll be out of there. 50 Shades, or The Boss Baby, at 127.4 at number 8. Number 7, Fate of the Furious, 136 million. Split, 137 million. So that'll be dropping down soon. Kong Skull Island, 162. Get Out, 169. So basically, Fate of the Furious should be number 4-ish after this weekend. Lego Batman Movie, 173. Logan, 222. And Beauty and the Beast, 463. Domestically, that is a lot of fucking money for this early in the year. And we'll see what happens. This is based all off of last week's ending box office numbers, so we'll see what happened during the week and this weekend. Be some things changing around, but I don't know. The big movies are yet to come, and I can't fucking wait. This is fun. I love this once a month shit. This is entertaining stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like it.
All right, I think that about does it for us. Unless, PJ, you've got anything else we got to air at the moment?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right, sounds good. Follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, bingemedia.net/newsletter to sign up for the newsletter. 708-406-9546 is the number. Give us a call, leave us voicemails. Nobody has left us a voicemail yet. Everybody calls into the main show. Nobody's left a BMFML voicemail. I haven't heard a fucking single wrestling promo or anything. So people got to get on that.
I think someone's getting called out, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody out there. I mean, Macho Man was on. He tried to challenge me to fucking, you know, talk on camera. That had happened 2 weeks earlier. Like, what the fuck, Macho Man? Like, Jesus Christ. But, whatever. So, whatever. I don't know. All right. We'll be back in a month, and we'll update you then. So, for myself, PJ, and Supka, I say peace.
Later.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.